This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Rob, I did not plan on starting the 5 o'clock hour this way, and I promise you we will not spend too much time on this. Congratulations on getting through your 9 to 5. Please indulge me for the next 3 minutes, and I promise you we'll get back to sports. Rob, do you know how much money the Girl Scout cookies generate every year? Because I just learned this during the commercial break, and the number absolutely blew my mind. Do you know how much money in revenue that Girl Scout cookies claim that they make selling cookies every single year?
Worldwide? I guess nationwide?
I'm not sure. It didn't specify. It wasn't specific.
God, the number's going to be big. You're not asking if the number's small. 100 million?
Girls, on their official website, it says that they generate $800 million a year just off selling cookies. This is one of the greatest businesses in the history of the world. Rob, they only sell the cookies from January through April. This is not a year-round business for the Girl Scout cookies. They pop up. They sit outside your local grocery store. You get an email that little Cindy wants you to donate. We all just buy a couple of boxes. You might not even love the cookies, but yeah, sure. I'll buy a little bit, sure. For your little one, I'm happy to help. How many do you need me to get? You need me to get a handful of boxes? Here, I'll give you $30. Rob, the cookies are $6 or $7 a box. Imagine if they tried to hit you for the 10 spot. You're not saying no for the 10 spot. Imagine if they sold these cookies year-round. This might be the most profitable business in America. Low overhead. These cookies can't be that much to make.
They don't have employees.
You got kids all around the country and all around the world that will do the heavy lifting work of actually selling it and moving it for you. You don't advertise. It's not like you and I watch television and they got cookies telling you, they got commercials telling you. You don't get Instagram ads. You don't have a marketing budget. This is the greatest business model ever. How do we get in on this?
That's a great question.
Can we buy a bunch of Girl Scout cookies and then
resell them?
And then when like June comes and people got that itch, you haven't had your Thin Mints in a while. It's June. Can we then take all the boxes that we got at $6 and $7 and now we charge them for $9 and $10? Can we get in on some of this profit? $800 million a year. I just looked this up. I was just curious. Wendy's makes like $2.3 billion a year. Girl Scout cookies could be Wendy's if they just sold all year round. They could be Wendy's.
Have you ever inadvertently been part of a turf war at the office with Girl Scout cookies?
No, I haven't.
That's a miserable existence.
I haven't.
That happened to me in my old job. Salesperson X brought their little girl in to sell cookies. I bought cookies.
Now somebody else wants you to get the cookies.
Salesperson Y brought their little girl in to sell cookies. I was like, yo, I've already bought cookies. And now it was a problem between me and the two people who worked there. They're like, how did you buy cookies from her when you knew that my daughter was coming? It was a problem.
Do the kids get part of this? I'm not even trying to be funny. I'm serious. Do they get some of the profit? Like, where does the $800 million for the cookies go?
To fund the Girl Scouts. I'm pretty sure it's a nonprofit. They take that money and they're funding their lives.
This don't sound like a nonprofit to me if you run an $800 million business. That very much sounds like a profitable business to me. It can't be that much to make the cookies. You are a for-profit business.
I'm telling you, I think they're the same way the NFL used to be a nonprofit. Same
okay.
Concept.
Like college football. Yeah. College football is a nonprofit.
That's a great example.
Okay,
if you donate some money to your local college or Girl Scout troop, they can do something great with it. That's a donation. You didn't make them any money.
You know what? That's fair. No, that's okay. I got you. Someone said, to be fair, they have a thing going. They're creating value and demand by scarcity. No, that's fair. I just think that, you know, You're usually going to support your daughter or your niece or your friends. I can't really see you being like, you know what, little girl? Hey, I know you asked me in February to buy these cookies. It's now July. Get away from me. It's crazy to say for $800 million business, they're leaving money on the table. They're leaving a significant amount of money on the table here by not selling these cookies. All right, we can get back to basketball. I could not believe this. I'm sitting here. I'm on their website. I'm reading an article on Yahoo Finance. They make $800 million a year selling Girl Scout cookies.
They get $1. Apparently, according to the text line,
they get $1 a box.
Each Girl Scout troop gets $1 per box sold. So if your troop sold 100 boxes, you get $100.
My goodness, what a racket. You got your daughter invested in a Ponzi scheme. That's what it sounds like.
She's selling Cutco knives.
Yeah, that's a Ponzi scheme. What's your favorite Girl Scout cookie?
Ooh, the peanut butter patties.
Are they called Samoas?
No.
Whichever one's the coconut that has the hole in the middle.
Do you like coconut? Coconut's trash. Like,
you know the ones I'm talking about? Yeah, What's the name of them?
Yes, they're Samoas.
Those are the best ones.
No. Coconut on cookies? What are we doing? No.
Yeah, those are the best ones.
The peanut butter patties is basically just a cookie version of a Reese's peanut butter cup. They saw a great thing. They made it a cookie. I don't like coconut. I don't get it.
Yeah, I'm just telling you. Whichever one has the hole in the middle.
Are you a frozen Thin Mint person?
I don't like mint flavor. So
really?
No, I'm not really a Thin Mint individual. I'm not a Thin Mint. I learned a lot about Girl Scout cookies in the last 7 minutes or so. Hopefully you guys learned as much as I did. All right, Rob, let's get to very serious basketball things. The NCAA tournament is, you know what? I am suspecting that, I don't know, maybe 27 hours from now is going to be the end of Kansas's basketball season. We don't have that much time left to be able to talk about Kansas basketball. We really don't. All right, can we at least come together for this? And I will not make another crack at KU for the rest of the day. You have my word. Girl Scouts honor is what I'll put it on.
Ponzi scheme honor.
I looked this up. So out of the last 23 years, there have been 100% of teams that have fit a specific criteria to win the national championship. They have to be rated top 20 on defense on KenPom. They have to be rated top 40 on offense on KenPom. So yes, you can make the Final Four and not be on this list. You could potentially make a deep run and not be on this list. In the last 23 years, you have not won the NCAA championship if you have not been ranked top 20 on defense and top 40 on offense. These are the teams: Duke, Florida, Houston, Auburn, Tennessee, Michigan State, Maryland, UCLA, Michigan, Clemson, Louisville, Iowa State. Now, there's a handful of these teams we don't need to spend that much time talking about. I don't think that Maryland can win this thing. UCLA is not winning the national championship. Michigan, Clemson, Louisville, Iowa State. Those teams could win a game or two. I'm not talking about those teams and their ability to cut down the net. That leaves us with six. I think the favorite in this tournament is Florida. I think Florida has the perfect balance of what you need to be able to win this thing. They have one of the five best players in Clayton Jr. at guard. They've got size. They've got depth. They're tournament and battle tested. They've got a very good coach. Florida is a national championship contending team that is playing their best basketball at the right time. That matters to me in this conversation. Florida playing their best basketball now when it counts is exactly what I want to see. Since March has started, these are Florida's wins. Texas A&M, Alabama twice, Ole Miss, Missouri, and Tennessee. That is a team that is ready for the NCAA tournament. I also really like Houston. I like Houston's toughness. I like that they have a team that has gone through this tournament a couple of times. I like LJ Cryer and his experience in the backcourt. Kelvin Sampson is a coach that's taken a team to a Final Four. You know what it takes to navigate this NCAA tournament. My national champion on my bracket is Florida and Houston. I think those are the two best teams in the country. This is what scares me about Duke. And I think Duke is obviously a good team. They have the best player in college basketball, the future number one overall pick. They are a very good team. These two things scare me about Duke. Number one, their best player is a freshman. If we look at the last 25, 30 years, however far you want to go back, there aren't a lot of teams that win the national championship when their best player is 18 years old. It's really, really difficult to do. Now, it's happened before. Carmelo took his team to a championship. Anthony Davis took his team to a championship. It has happened before. It's really, really difficult to navigate this tournament as an 18-year-old when everybody else is 20, 21, 22, when they win this, especially now in a sport that is more older, a sport that players are sticking around and playing 3, 4, 5 years of college basketball. Their best player and their second best players are freshmen. That bothers me about Duke. What also bothers me about Duke is the conference that they were in. This is not the old ACC. This is a different ACC. This is an ACC in which North Carolina finished 5th in the ACC and was an 11 seed. It's the worst seed that North Carolina has ever had entering the NCAA tournament. It's not that I don't think that Duke is good. Duke hasn't been in a fight. To give you guys an understanding, Duke played Louisville, who is ranked. Louisville was ranked 13th. Louisville got an 8 seed, even though they were ranked 13th in the country. They got an 8 seed. Do you want to know the last time before the championship game in the ACC that Duke played a team that was ranked? You want to know when that was, Rob?
Oof. Was it Kansas?
It was Auburn on the 4th of December. You haven't been playing the same level of competition that Houston has been playing. You haven't been playing the same level of competition that a Florida, an Alabama, a Tennessee has played. What does that look like in a single elimination tournament with freshmen? That scares me about Duke. It really does. They've been good. They have one loss since the turn of the year. They lost early in the season. They lost to Kentucky in their third game. They lost to Kansas in their sixth game. Since then, the only team to beat them was on the road against Clemson. But then when you look at the teams that they've beaten, North Carolina twice, Georgia Tech, Wake Forest, Florida State, Miami. What? You haven't been playing big dogs. You haven't been playing elite teams. I'm personally staying away from Duke for that reason. I know that some of you are picking Duke to win the national championship, and they very well might win the national championship. I'm not playing a team that ain't tournament tested, that ain't battle tested. I'm not playing it. Cooper Flagg hasn't played against many future pros at this point in his college basketball career. He's about to. And that personally just, that scares me off of them where I am not buying it. So I like Florida and Houston. I am taking Houston to win the national championship. You asked me earlier about Auburn and what kind of scares me about them. This is what scares me about Auburn. Auburn is obviously very good. Coming into March, I think Auburn was the best team in college basketball. Since March 1st, they are 2-3. And they have played tournament teams during that stretch. Now, they have played a pretty difficult schedule. Since the turn of the month, they beat Kentucky 94-78. Since then, they have lost 3 of 4. They lost on the road to A&M. They lost to Alabama at home in overtime. They beat Ole Miss, and then they lost to Tennessee a couple of nights ago. They are not playing their best basketball. In fact, they are playing their worst basketball. I think it's really hard to go from playing your worst basketball of the season to now playing your best again and now being a team that cuts down the nets. So I still like Auburn. This is a team that is pretty veteran-led. This is a team that has the second-best player in college basketball. A good coach has taken them to the Final Four. I think it's hard to turn the light switch back on, especially when it's been off for these last couple of weeks, the way that it's been for Auburn. So I'm personally staying away from them. I don't love Tennessee. I like Tennessee. Michigan State, to me, seems like a team that kind of benefited from a little bit down Big Ten, and I question how much they can score in their ability to win this tournament. So that's where I am. I like Houston to win it, and I think they're playing Florida in the national championship.
The way you feel about Florida is how I feel about Auburn. I think they have an incredible player, they have an incredible coach, and I think their bracket is going to shake out in their favor, which is always, you know, you can never predict these things. We try, we do bracket pools, we all try to predict it, but you can never predict someone's going to get a little bit of a softer run. I'll use 2022 Kansas as an example. Kansas played a 10 seed in the Elite Eight in 2022 when they went to the Final Four. Like, that kind of thing happens in this tournament all the time. I think Auburn is going to get that, you know, benefactor because their bracket lends itself to chaos. And they have Johnny Brome, they've been battle-tested, and they have Bruce Pearl. And I know they've limped down the stretch, but before that Kentucky game, which was 2 weeks ago now, where they throttled Kentucky at Rupp.
They did smoke them.
It looked like no one was in their hemisphere as far as quality. Now, they had a couple injuries. You know, Johnny Brome battled something down the stretch. Like, I think the way you talk about Florida is how Auburn is going to play in this NCAA tournament.
Text line 913-586-7965. CDOT, the ACC is better than they get credit for. They played a good non-conference schedule to better prepare them for the NCAA tournament. They played the SEC earlier this year in the SEC-ACC Challenge. They lost 14-2. They lost 14-2. They got smoked by the SEC. Now, that was in early December, and obviously these two teams are different. That conference showed me it is not close between them and the best. And that is who Duke has been playing primarily for the last 90 days of college basketball. I'm not sure if that prepared you for what you're about to see in this NCAA tournament. The degree of difficulty is going to heat up in a way that it simply hasn't heated up for you in quite some time. You know what, Rob? Let's actually talk a little bit of football here in this 5 o'clock hour. Do the read for Baker University. Shout out to them. And I'll handle hit number one.
Your workday is over.
Oh, yeah.
You're headed home, and now you're stuck in traffic. Time to get caught up on the biggest stories in Kansas City and around the country with CDOT and Rob. It's time for the hits. Number one.
Carrington, as always, hits are brought to you by Baker University, where graduates earn higher salaries and land jobs faster than any other university in Kansas. Apply today at bakeru.edu.
All right, I want to play something that Matt Verderam said on our show earlier today. We were talking about the Chiefs' decision at left tackle, and if you missed it, Cam Robinson has signed a contract. So, as a little bit of musical chairs, Houston had Laremy Tunsil as their left tackle. They traded Laremy Tunsil to the Washington Commanders. They obviously now need a left tackle. They have signed Cam Robinson. Cam Robinson was a player that we talked about this offseason. He has signed a one-year, $12 million deal that could be paid up to $14.5 million. We don't got to get too deep into the finances of it, but I asked Matt Verderam, would you rather have Jalen Moore's contract or Cam Robinson's deal? Here's what Matt Verderam said.
Jalen Moore, look, you talk to people, you know, around that signing, and there's a sense of, listen, there is the unknown. There's no arguing that. He said 12 career starts. But they like the way he was playing in pass pro in San Francisco. They like his ability to anchor. There's a thought that, look, you get him in there, coach him up, get some more experience, and he can go out and be good. And I think if you're the Chiefs, 2 for $30, you're not paying him to be Trent Williams. You're paying him to not be a road cone. You're paying him to go in there and just be good. And if he's not good, they'll cut him after a year. If he's good, they'll keep him. If he's great, they'll extend him. But I think I'd rather have him and his potential upside than Cam Robinson for 1 year. I know, like, look, there's no upside. He is what he is.
I've told you guys in the past that I think you have to view left tackle very similar to quarterback, at least how you acquire the position. Really good left tackles in the National Football League, they don't just hit free agency. That's not how that position works. And if you feel like you got a really good left tackle, you do everything in your power to keep them because they're really hard to get, kind of like how quarterback is. I think the Chiefs were faced with a couple of different options. They could have overpaid for an okay player. I think that Dan Moore is fine. I don't think that Dan Moore is one of the better left tackles in the National Football League. I don't care what his contract says. I think he's fine. But because the Steelers let him hit free agency, someone was going to overpay. And I feel even better about that opinion when I saw the team that overpaid. It was Tennessee. That's not a good organization. I don't ever want the Chiefs to do anything that the Tennessee Titans do. They're not good at this thing. That's why they have the number one overall pick in this year's NFL draft. So the fact that Dan Moore went there, all right, cool, let's put that away. I don't think the Chiefs were ever going to get Ronnie Stanley. I also don't think they were going to get Laremy Tunsil. Maybe it's not because Houston wouldn't trade with them, but because I don't think the Chiefs were willing to spend what it would have taken to go acquire Laremy Tunsil. I don't think the Chiefs had a whole lot of great options at the position. They had a choice. They could have got Cam Robinson, who in this analogy is like Tyrod Taylor. He's fine. You're not making the playoffs if you sign Tyrod Taylor. You're probably not having the number one overall pick. He's going to play just well enough. He's Justin Fields. He's going to play just well enough that you think there's a little bit more, but there's not. I think that's what Cam Robinson is. He's fine. There's not an incredibly high ceiling, and there's a relatively decent floor, but that's not a guy that you are considering a potential franchise left tackle. You want to know how I know? He's played for three teams in the last 12 months. If he was a franchise left tackle, we wouldn't be having this conversation about him being available past the wave of free agency and him signing a one-year deal. Now, I think the Jalen Moore thing is interesting. I think he's the quarterback that played well in a handful of starts and now has an opportunity to be a starter. Now, I don't know what that means. Maybe he's Brock Osweiler, who is in this exact same situation. Maybe he's Matt Flynn that's in this situation. Maybe he's Rich Gannon. Maybe he's Rich Gannon. Maybe he's a guy who was a... Maybe he's Kirk Cousins. Remember, Kirk Cousins was drafted behind RG3. He finally got his opportunity. He made the most of his opportunity. Hey, you got something there. I applaud what the Chiefs did. I don't know if it's going to work. I don't know if anybody can tell you it's going to work. We haven't had enough of a sample size of Jalen Moore to tell you whether it is or is not going to work. But what I do know is the Chiefs took a chance at being solid at the position. They took a chance at being solid at the position for multiple years. If you got Cam Robinson, you know what it is. Cam Robinson is the definition of a bridge left tackle. He is 30 years old. Again, this is his third team in a year. He is the definition of a bridge left tackle. There is a chance you have something with Jalen Moore. There is a chance that he can develop and grow into a solid left tackle and one of the better left tackles in the National Football League. And I think the Chiefs took that chance. So we will obviously track and see if it'll work. We'll see if the Chiefs are right at this. If they're right, it solves a lot of problems for them moving forward. Because they could be in a position where they're going to have to get a new right tackle next year because Jawan Taylor will not be on the team at that contract. I think he is getting cut at the end of the season. And I don't think you want to be in a situation where in one offseason you were trying to find your left and right tackle. I don't think you want to be in that situation if you're the Chiefs or any team in the National Football League. So if you missed any of Matt Verderam, go check the podcast page out there. He says certainly a lot more than that, but I wanted to play that for you when it comes to left tackle. I think the Chiefs made the right decision. I think you'd rather have Jalen Moore than have Cam Robinson at both of their contracts. I think you'd rather have the club control for year two. And even though he doesn't have the on-the-field experience, I think you'd rather have the younger, more athletic player that has a certainly higher upside than what Cam Robinson is.
I love your quarterback analogy. Let me ask you a question. So Matt Flynn signed with the Seahawks. That same draft, the Seahawks with Pete Carroll went out and drafted Russell Wilson. Third-round pick. Matt Flynn never got the job. We know the story. Would you like to see the Chiefs draft a tackle still in the upcoming draft? I know we got a month and a half before draft talk really revs up, but Bink's coming up in half an hour, so maybe it's going to rev up in half an hour. Do you think the Chiefs should still buy an insurance policy in the draft, like a better term?
Yes.
Because there's a scenario where that Matt Flynn player is Matt Flynn. There's a scenario where Jalen Moore is Kirk Cousins, but if he's Matt Flynn, I think you have to have a real option like Kelvin was something behind him more than just Rutrow and Suamataia slash Wanye.
The Chiefs are going to be in the Chiefs are going to be in the tackle business at the end of the season, regardless of anything that happens. Juwan Taylor will not be on the team next year. Like, you and I both look at contracts. There's no scenario in which Juwan Taylor is on the team next year. They have to cut him at the end of the season. If you look at Juwan Taylor, Juwan Taylor's cap hit next season is $27.3 million, and they save $20 million by getting Juwan Taylor off the team. And just based on how he's played so far, are you interested in extending Juwan Taylor? I'm not. Especially when I assume, like most people, Juwan Taylor is going to want to raise from what he's been making. Not many people extend their current contract with their job and not want more money from it. They gave him 4 years, $80 million. They gave Juwan Taylor $60 million guaranteed. 60! That's two Nick Boltons they gave him, guaranteed money. He still got more money coming to him. No, thank you. Juwan Taylor is off the team. So if you're telling me they draft a left tackle now, and the plan is he's a swing tackle for this upcoming year, and then we'll see. He either is going to start at left tackle for you in 2026 or start at right tackle for you, and we'll figure it out. Yes, drafting a tackle is not off the board to me because you went and signed Jalen Moore, not when you can see that there is going to be an opening on the offensive line coming up in a year from now. Let's get back to basketball. We are, less than 24 hours away from round one of the NCAA tournament. Let's talk about what happened last night with North Carolina. Keep it right here, Sadrive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison.
This man was a bona fide scrub.
On 96.5 The Fan, brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Hey, it's Jim Costa with Cash the Ticket. It's March, so Mike Valeni and I are all over the tournament again this year. There's just nothing like betting in March. Breakdowns of every region and every game. From conference tournaments to the Final Horn, we'll have the picks and the plays on every single game. Cinderella spotlights, upset alerts, and some of that value for the last team standing. It's tourney time, so hunker down and bet the board with us. Subscribe and listen to Cash the Ticket in the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Sometimes doing this job, I get distracted. But I always hope that my distractions are a positive thing. I'd rather talk about this than talk about North Carolina, if I'm being completely honest with you. They won. We'll talk about them another time. Rob, during the commercial break, now I will admit, I have allowed myself to, I have advanced Missouri in my mind, and I am planning to go to Wichita on Saturday. Now, I know they could lose to Drake. I respect Drake. I think they are a very good team. I have just prepared my mind and body that they are going to win and that I will be getting in my car and driving to Wichita to watch them play in the round of 32. So during the commercial break, I just Googled things to do in Wichita. I don't know what time they'll play. Maybe Missouri plays at 4 on Saturday. Maybe they play at 6. I'm not leaving at 2. I'm going to leave early in the day, and I'm going to spend the day in Wichita, Kansas. In fact, I have never spent the day in Wichita, Kansas. I don't know what's there. I Googled it. I don't know if I'm going to Wichita anymore. Let me tell you what. This is on TripAdvisor.com. This is a nationally known website. This is what they have as the top attractions in Wichita. The Keeper of the Plains, the Sedgwick County Zoo, Botanica, the Wichita Gardens, Old Cowtown Museum, the Museum of World Treasures, Frank Lloyd Wright Allen's House, the Kansas Aviation Museum, the Wichita Art Museum, the Great Plains Nature Center, and the Exploration Place. I'm not going to this place. I'm not going to Wichita, Kansas. Rob, what is there to do in Wichita? Have you been there before? Do you know what there is to do?
I've never been there.
I mean, I could keep going to more. None of these things sound like I should get in my car with the intention of spending a prolonged... So I can go to the Pizza Hut Museum? That's why I'm going to Wichita? To go to the Wichita Toy Train Museum?
So here's the thing. Twofold. One, I think TripAdvisor is a terrible way to do this. If you were to TripAdvisor Kansas City, you would think our town sucks. TripAdvisor is going to always show you museums and boring stuff. Do it right now. TripAdvisor Kansas City.
Okay, but hold
on,
though.
It'll tell you some lame stuff.
This is what's different. You never had to go. You know what Kansas City's known for, though. TripAdvisor might not tell you that. TripAdvisor is not going to tell you, hey, go here. If there is one thing that I think the rest of the country knows that we do, it's beer and barbecue. That's what they know. So maybe you're coming to Kansas City and you don't know anything about it. Hey, I would just go on there and find top barbecue places. And trust me, any one of the options that you choose is an amazing one. What am I going to Wichita for? What do they do there? What are they known for? I don't know. This isn't my neck of the woods. I honestly cannot remember a time that I've been to Wichita, Kansas. But I'm telling you that going on TripAdvisor, it don't sound very fun.
Here's what I would do. There's a place in Wichita called Old Town. A little old, and there's like
shops,
bars, restaurants. There's one of the museums in there. It's a little area you can hang out, you know, eat, drink, kind of meander around. And then, you know what? There's a chicken and pickle in Wichita. I know that for a fact.
Shout out to them.
There's also a wave of breweries that I'm sure people enjoy in Wichita.
Okay.
I just think TripAdvisor is a bad barometer. TripAdvisor is the most fun town in the world. Whatever you think that is. If you're like, you know what? Nothing's better than Chicago. It won't tell you about the bean. It'll tell you about nonsense. TripAdvisor is a bad metric.
Okay, I'm sitting here and I'm looking at it. And I'm on here for Saturday. What could I potentially do? I'm on OldTownWichita.com. They have the Desperate Housewives of Sedgwick County play if I want to go see that.
They have restaurants and stuff in that area too?
Well, I mean, I assume they eat there.
Wait, I mean, like, local delicacy, not like you're going to Chili's.
That was when I looked at top restaurant, that was number 11. I just want to point out it was number 11. I mean, I can go see some girl. What is this? Stephanie Moore, Michaela Brownlee. I can go see her perform. She's at Brickyard. I don't know, man. This doesn't sound
Google it. Which
this doesn't sound. This doesn't sound exciting to me, man. I'm serious. This doesn't sound fun to me.
What do Wichita State students do? They gotta do something, right?
Transfer to Kansas is what they do. They go there for a semester. What do you think it says on Lawrence TripAdvisor? Like, if I go right now to Lawrence, Kansas,
Lawrence is gonna be fascinating.
Okay, let's look to see what it is.
There's the museum on campus.
All right, here we go.
Museum.
This is what it says. This is the 15 best things to do in Lawrence. All right, let's look it up. Let's let it load a little bit here, and we'll take a trip to Lawrence, Kansas. Because in Lawrence, it's fun. Lawrence is very fun.
A lot of stuff to do.
Do you think that Wichita is more fun than Lawrence?
No.
Do you think Wichita is more fun than Manhattan?
No. I think Wichita every day has a celebration that Topeka's in town, so they're not the worst city in the state.
Well, that doesn't sound like a very fun place to be.
Yeah, but
if you're telling me it's not Lawrence, it's not Manhattan, what is it, Topeka?
No, it's better than Topeka.
Are you sure?
You know,
it doesn't sound better than Topeka to me.
If Missouri was playing in Topeka, I would be begging you, do not leave to go to watch Missouri.
If they was playing in Topeka, I'd be at the game tomorrow is what I would be. Hey, Rob, hey, at 4:30, I got to get out of here, man. I got somewhere I got to be. All right, things to do. All right, hold on. I'm pulling it up. It wasn't loading right the first time. Things to do in Lawrence. All right, here we go. Oh, they have tours. You can take a tour. All right, top attractions in Lawrence. Number one, Mass Street. Great. That wasn't the number one thing to do in Wichita, Kansas, was not Mass Street. That doesn't tell you specifically, but Mass Street, just go there and walk around. You will find something you're into.
I mean, that's to say, it's way worse, but Old Town is something to do and walk around.
You know what Old Town sounds like to me? It sounds like Metro North Mall is what you described to me. It sounds like it used to be popping in 01, but you want me to go there now. Hey, go to Blue Ridge Mall. What? No. Your selling point was it had bars and restaurants? Everywhere has that. Yeah, so I was like, Zona Rosa? You want me to drive to Wichita to go to Zona Rosa?
Yeah,
that's their claim to fame?
Go to Wichita, Zona Rosa, go to the game. Wichita is not like, oh, it's not exactly a vacation destination.
No, I could tell. I can tell. It's not any of those things. Shout out to Wichita. Somebody said, CDOT, do you use TripAdvisor when you go to Vegas? You don't have to use when you go to Vegas. You just go outside and the fun is all around you in Vegas. When you go to Wichita, I'm assuming you got to look for the fun. You don't really got to look for the fun in Vegas.
You're the same person who went to what's that town you and Bink rave about?
Wamigo.
You guys went to Wamigo and just waxed poetically for 6 months, but now you're talking down Wichita?
They got wineries in Wichita?
They got a ton of breweries.
No, they got a winery there. Let's look it up.
Probably. I know they have like 5 breweries.
Okay, let's look it up. Let's see if there's a Wichita winery. Okay, all right. All right, they might have something. Simply Sangria. They might have something there.
There you go.
All right, they might have something. Oh, this one's, it's 15 miles away. I'm not going to that. I just wanted to know what was on there. Somebody said, Wichita is exciting in all the wrong ways. No, it sounds like it. You know what, though? This is the thing I've noticed. It's very different. This is very different about Missouri and Kansas people. I wouldn't let you talk bad about a city in Missouri the way that you guys talk bad about the other cities in Kansas. The people like Rob that live in Kansas only like 2 cities in Kansas. They're like Overland Park and Lawrence. They don't like any other place in Kansas. Hey, how about Wyandotte County? No, don't go there. How about Topeka? No, don't go there. Wichita? Oh, absolutely not. Where else in Kansas do you like? Do you like any other place in Kansas? I'm telling you, the people that grew up on this side of Kansas, on this state line, they treat the rest of Kansas like Pride Rock. That's how they treat it. You go to 135th and Metcalf, you drive to Lawrence to go to the game, you drive back home, you don't know anywhere else in Kansas. You don't need to go nowhere else in Kansas. You guys don't sing its praises. We in Missouri, we love Missouri. Yeah, go down to the Ozarks. Great. A great time. That's not how you guys talk. I don't know if you guys really love Kansas. Somebody said Wichita is a huge bowling town. All right. You know what? I'm watching this game at home on CBS. That's what I made my decision. I'm staying at home. Keep it right here is The Drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison on your home for Kansas City sports. 96.5 The Fan. Brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this.
Welcome back. We're having a little fun. We're talking about road trips to Wichita, the tournament, all kind of things. I was pointing out to Rob that people that live in Kansas, they don't really like Kansas. They like Overland Park and Lawrence, and they're kind of cool on everything else. And that's not really how we Missourians act. Someone on the text line says, I don't know, CDOT, Warrensburg, Sedalia, Clinton, Windsor, Warsaw, they all suck. Nobody is ever telling you to go to Windsor, Missouri. I don't even know where Windsor, Missouri is. I only have been to Clinton, Missouri because you have to drive through Clinton to get to Springfield. I've never stopped in Clinton, Missouri. Maybe to use the bathroom or something. I've never stopped. For those of you that maybe you know, you got a little one that goes to Mo State or you know, you grew up in Springfield, you know the drive I'm talking about. There ain't no reason to stop in Clinton, Missouri. I don't know where Warsaw is either. I don't know where that is. I would love to go to Wichita and learn more about Rob State. But Rob didn't do a good job in selling me on it.
Aren't those all like towns the way to the lake? Like Sedalia? Those are all like, hey.
Sedalia's like in the middle. Yeah, Sedalia's like, you would drive through Sedalia if you're going to Columbia.
Mm-hmm. Okay. What's the one where the state fair is in? That's over
that's
by.
That's in Sedalia.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. That's in Sedalia. Yeah. I mean, I'm not telling you Sedalia is an exciting place. It certainly is not an exciting place. But also, you're going there for an intended purpose. You're not going to Sedalia to hang out. That's not really the day trip move, you know? You're not like, oh, hey, let's hang out there. And like, no. I'm not advising you to go do that.
I would say Wichita and Springfield are probably similar. I think Springfield's probably more fun, but it's...
Springfield's great. I love Springfield.
It's probably similar size college town vibe. Yeah,
Springfield was great. That's when I was in college in Joplin. We would always take the drive over there. It's 45 minutes away. You could have a fun time in Springfield and then drive home. It was always great. I love Springfield. Do you plan on watching the first four tonight? I know that last night North Carolina played. I started watching North Carolina, and then they started smoking San Diego State, and I started watching television. I was like, I'm not watching any more of this. I think I know who is advancing in the NCAA tournament. Are you planning on watching tonight with Texas and Xavier?
I'll be honest with you. Texas and Xavier does not move me the same way Carolina and San Diego State did. Carolina was interesting because of the storylines, but it feels like Texas and Xavier is just two teams about to become chum for Illinois. Like that, it doesn't feel like anything can come of this game. Carolina, for as annoying as they are making the tournament, could feasibly make a run now. These two teams are like cannon fodder for the round of 64.
Yeah, I would treat this Texas Xavier game. It's like a early season bowl game. You're watching it, but you're not watching it.
I'm going to be sad when basketball's gone, so I'll watch, but yeah. I'm not like, oh, man, Texas Xavier.
Yeah, you got it on in the background, but you're definitely, like, talking to your wife. You're doing other stuff. Yeah, and then you just got Texas Xavier on in the background. I actually think Xavier is going to win today. I would probably pick them. I don't plan on putting anything on it. I'm just going to have it on the television. I don't plan on doing anything until tomorrow, but yeah, I think Xavier is probably going to win today in the first four.
Rodney Terry saved his job by making this game for Texas.
If your job is saved by you making the first four.
I'm just telling you what the reporting was. I'm not saying that's a win for Texas.
I'm just telling you because yeah, you're not even in the tournament yet. You can't even count that till you win today. You can say that if you're St. Francis or Alabama State, you're in the tournament. Sure, you're a 16 seed. You won your league. You made the tournament in my mind. You can't be North Carolina telling people you made the tournament if you lost in the first round of the playing game. That's not how this works. All right, before we sign off, I want to play one final thing for you guys. Nick Wright was on Colin Cowherd's show and listen to the conversation they were having.
Really worry about Kansas City. Joe Tooney is one of the more valuable offensive linemen in the league. Left. And they didn't want him to leave. They couldn't afford him. They don't have a left tackle. They paid a lot for Jalen Moore, who's never been a starter. By the way, they're not going to go 11-0 in one-score games. Raiders are better. Broncos will be better. The Chargers will be better. It never lasts forever.
This is an annual tradition where you pick a new team to win the AFC West, and then midway through the year, you're like, yeah, I probably shouldn't have done that. Also, you said the Chiefs didn't want to lose Joe Tooney. Well, was there a gun to Brett Beach's head when he called the Bears and traded him? They didn't lose Joe Tooney. They traded Joe Tooney. So I just got to say, the rest of your bracket feels a lot like we are respecting the teams that were really good last year, except for, of course, the Chiefs.
I don't understand how you can pick another team at this point in the AFC West. I know you guys call me Chargers Dot, and I got to wear that, but you're picking the Chargers. Have the Chargers made a move that I've missed? Who have the Chargers added where you think that they've closed the gap between them and Kansas City? Najee Harris? That's the move? They still don't have another wide receiver. Their defense is still suspect. What? You like the Najee Harris move puts them over the top? I'm not buying it, man. I'm not buying it. I'm really looking forward to tomorrow's show. Tomorrow's show is going to be a lot of fun. We are going to have basketball wall to wall. Take care of yourself. Fill out your bracket. Make sure you get it in before the window closes. We'll catch you guys tomorrow. Take care of yourself. It's The Drive.